sufficient for the campaign for control of the subcontractor.
Yes, I know you
and did not exercise control of the subcontractor.
It's always case history. It's no problem.
There's another example of engineering.
No problem. Would you do me the honor? I'd be happy to do the same.
Very much. Which is basically.
What?
No, and actually, it's 11 now, if you don't mind. Do you have 11 now?
Even though you're the.
I have changed here.
I
don't have a 10.
And I made a ton.
So, you can give it to me another 10? 7. You owe me 4. No problem. Well, Nick. Thank you, Ed. And the flowers arrived today. The flowers arrived today. I don't know. I assume, well.
She's doing well. Maybe come to talk to her. She thinks she's coming back next week. All that thought, I don't think she is.
I think it's pretty clear.
I see miracles every day. It's just hope. Pray.
And we
thank you, Ed.
Control of means methods.
All right. Hey, Anna, would you mind
you want to sign my petition?
Yeah.
Pardon? My petition, my first petition. I'm collecting signatures for running again.
You're running?
Nice.
Yeah, but I didn't get the financial stuff.
Believe me, it'll be fine.
It's all in here.
They answer all of our questions, there'll be no problem.
No, I'll do it on the iPad today.
We know it's a good thing.
This is last week's
in here. It's in the office as long as you do everything you want to do or don't do.
Oh, I brought the wrong one.
Well, that's good.
Well, these are issues.
Thank you for printing it.
I agree. Let me tell you something.
Hello.
It just so happens that I sat on Harvard today forever in a day. Richmond and Harvard.
Ed, we're going to start.
And I certainly do not want
in
that to happen.
Like 30 seconds.
Just to the electors, to our citizens.
No, I'm telling you this makes me
no,
think.
I know. Unless we get all those answers to all those questions. Here you go, guys.
All right, pass I'm going to start the meeting and call the meeting to order, please.
Okay.
We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. Anna, will you call the roll, please?
Bonk.
Here.
Klein. Oh, not here. Braverman.
Here.
Kluter.
Yes.
Alfred.
Here.
Duber.
Here.
Perry.
Here. Judd Klein is out of town. He gave me advanced warning that he would be, so can I please have a motion to excuse him?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Thank you, Mr. Duber. Anna, will you call the roll, please?
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein? Oh, Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes, thank you. Anna asked me to remind you all to please speak in the mic. She's still having difficulty hearing what everybody's saying for the tapes. And if audience members would like to address council, we welcome that. We ask you to come to the microphone and speak clearly into the microphone tonight. So first order of business is a motion to confirm Gregory Kaminsky as a member of the Orange Village Fire Department. Would you like to step up, please? And the mayor will say a little brief.
Just stay there for a second until after they vote, okay? And no, it's confusing directions. But I would like to introduce everybody to Greg Kaminsky, who is sitting right there on the end, and he's sitting next to his wife, Stacy. And this is the true definition of a brotherhood when his brother, Nick, is right there, too. That is part of our fire department, and you see there's a lot of support here in the room tonight for bringing on a new member of our fire department. And I think after a week after the loss of 19 firefighters in that wildfire, I think we need to take a moment to re-recognize how these men and women train hard so that in the rare instance that they are called upon for a dangerous situation, they are prepared and they put their lives at risk to save us. And we forget sometimes to show them the appreciation they deserve, but it's I think significantly before us tonight as we welcome a new member to our fire department to be part of our group of well-trained firefighters. Mr. Kaminsky got his high school degree from Garfield Heights and his firefighter 2 training from the Tri-C West Fire Academy and went on to earn his paramedic and NREMT certification from the Fairview EMS Academy. In addition to these, he has a lot of other initials, ALS, BLS, PALS, CPR, ITLS, and he has been a firefighter for other departments for many years, starting in 2006, and he has worked for a number of fire departments, including Southwest General Hospital, in addition to the fire departments. Mr. Kaminsky has certainly let me know that he will be spending lots of his time at our department, and we welcome him and appreciate it. And in addition to his professional training, he is also very involved with the Newburgh Heights Firefighters Association as its president. So we know that he is a doer and a joiner, and we know he will be a very valuable member of our team. I have a book here. I won't go through it, but if anybody's interested, these are all of his certifications that he has earned, and all this by the age of 28. So he comes highly recommended. He's been suggested by our fire chief and assistant fire chief. And so I ask that you confirm Mr. Greg Kaminsky to join the Orange Village Fire Department.
Thank you. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Any questions?
Except I don't have an oath of office.
Do you have your, you have it in your code book?
Pull it up and look at it.
Steve.
Okay, we're going to make something up and then I'm going to have to give you the official one.
Another one.
No.
Actually, do we need to call the roll first? Mayor? Yeah, let's call the roll first. And then.
Make something up.
No,
well,
I have a first and second.
By memory.
Okay, right. Anna's going to call the roll first.
Bonk?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Yeah, Alfred?
Pleased to say yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You can grab one.
I can grab one.
We're just going to pause for a second while we grab an oath of office.
He can do it another day.
Do you want to take the pictures now?
It's not a live video. You can pretend we're talking.
Hold your hand up.
Hold your hand up like you're giving
them. And move your lips.
You can come up here too to get his face. You can come
exactly.
Up. We won't bite.
Don't we have one handy? Not handy.
She's getting one. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all
in fact,
we need.
There's one hanging on my wall.
Well, I was going to say.
Mine.
Pick one up. I mean.
We're good.
All right, let me go get the one.
Thank you.
We live for the ordinances, statutes, and
So are you a paramedic too?
Oh, the orange village, we don't make things up.
Not everybody's PALS certified.
Tell ya.
Oh.
Okay.
That's where I work, is at Rainbow.
Music tour.
Yes. All those certificates are hard to get. Awesome. That's great.
You guys want to sign up while we're waiting?
Yeah,
sure. My petition.
Okay.
As long as we're waiting.
What's in it for me?
Under other circumstances.
Here,
I'll sign yours one day. It's a trade.
You know, I'll have another one.
It's basically a trade last.
At least it's asked that you pass hers too.
Oh, there you go.
I already signed yours.
What's in it for me?
Well, actually, it's going to cost you $11.
What?
For,
it's going to go up.
For Mary's flowers, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Went up a dollar.
What's that?
It went up a dollar.
Inflation.
Okay, raise your hands, your right hand. State after me. I state your name.
I,
Do so. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
Constitution of the State of Ohio.
The rules, regulations, and charter.
Charter.
Of Orange Village. And that I will faithfully.
Now faithfully.
Honestly and impartially.
Honestly and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a firefighter and EMT in Orange Village.
As a firefighter and EMT in Orange Village.
State of Ohio.
State of Ohio.
During my continuance in said office.
Congratulations, welcome.
Yes, it's Lisa.
Sure.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Gregory, if you can just come sign this, and then she'll give you a copy for your souvenirs. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. You're all welcome to stay. We have riveting meetings. Do I need a motion to amend the agenda or to move? Okay. If there's no objections, I'd like to invite Julie Litke to come up. She is our librarian and the Orange Branch and our representative for our community, and she'd like to say a few words. Are there any objections from anybody? Thank you.
And I will keep it very brief since I'm crashing your party not being on the agenda, so I appreciate the time. Mrs. Perry, thank you. My name's Julie Litke. I'm the manager of the Orange Branch of Cuyahoga County Public Library. I've been the manager there about 3 years. It's been a while since I've been able to attend a meeting, so just wanted to come out and thanks, you know, the Orange Village Council and residents for their support of the library. We have a lot of great programs and services going on, and of course the most exciting news is of the new branch that will be built in the next year. As of right now, it looks like we're still pretty much on schedule, a groundbreaking hopefully later this fall with an opening sometime the later half in the fall of 2014. Design is, and the architect is HBM, and they are currently working on the design. We'll hope to have some renderings possibly by this fall to show to residents. If there's ever any questions about Cuyahoga County Public Library, about the new branch, please don't hesitate to give me a call or stop by. One of the program services I wanted to let you know about that I believe you've even posted on your website, and we appreciate that, is the Library to You service that the library offers to homebound residents. And we really want to get the word out about this valuable service so that people who are homebound, even if temporarily, still have access to library materials. So if you know of someone or want more information about that, give us a call at the library. You could check our website at cuyahogalibrary.org. So again, thank you very much, and hope to see you at the library soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. All right. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of the June 12th regular meeting. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Any questions or comments? If there are none, will you call the roll, please, Anna? I'm going to call you Mary.
No, that's okay. Bonk?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of June 26th special meeting. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Any questions?
I do have one. I'm not sure there's a name, an incorrect spelling on the last name of one of our audience members, Mr. Barron. I think the name was misspelled here in the...
Where is that at?
June 26th, right?
Yep.
Item number four, one, two, third, questions and comments from audience members?
Mr. Barron. I'm not sure how he spells his name.
Yeah, you do. Mr. Barron, I think you're in the audience, so you
thank
can...
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Barron.
Only we could
is
find
it
him.
B-A-R-A-N?
R-R-O-N.
Thank you. Thank you for catching that, Mr. Alfred. Okay, are there any other questions or comments about it?
That was my only one.
Thank you. Anna, will you call the roll?
Bonk?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of the July 3rd work session. Do I have a motion?
Made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Any questions, comments? Yes?
just one comment. On the second page, item number 10, we use just an acronym, President of RETA, COG, for another term. I think we probably all know what that means, but whoever is reading these minutes may not. So I would suggest that gets written out, which I believe is a Council of Governments, right?
Yeah.
I just suggest that gets written out rather than the acronym.
Well, RETA is an acronym.
True, but everybody knows what that is.
P&Z is an acronym.
We could change anybody? Them all, but I was only suggesting that one.
Can you use your microphone?
Okay.
All right, thank you. We approve these minutes with these changes, please? And are there any others? All right. Anna, will you call the roll?
Bonk?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Abstain. I was absent.
Okay.
All right, next I need a motion to approve the Treasurer's Report of May 2013.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Let's see, I was absent from this meeting, so maybe the mayor would fill us in on the report, or Mr. Bloom is here. I see you. Yeah. I didn't see you in the audience, so thank you. Come on up to the microphone.
Are there any highlights?
A couple of highlights.
Okay.
And a good one. Through the month of May, the general fund is in very good shape. If you look at the summary page, you'll see the beginning balance was about $471,000. We are now at $655,000 through the first 5 months, which is very good. The main reason for that, if you go to the detail pages, you have the revenue page. And if you factor out or adjust for a couple of timing issues, we're at about 47% of our target percentage, which is actually 42 through 5 months. So we're about 5% ahead of budget on the revenue side. Mm. And if you go to page 9 on the expense pages, the very top line is the last line of the general fund. And again, there's a couple of timing items to adjust for. If you do that, again, our target percentage is 42. Our expenditures are at about 40%. So we're about 2% below budget on the spending side and about 5% above our target on the revenue side. So that's why we're about $184,000 ahead of where we began the year. And the only other items to point out are in the capital improvement fund line on the front page. The large revenue item is the estate tax transfer from the general fund that we made back in May. And the expense item of $294,000 is about $290,000 of that is for the service department building, mainly construction.
Is that the end of the estate tax?
No. Do you want to?
Well, Dave Bloom just let me know today that we're getting another $43,000 plus that we didn't know about.
Oh.
So it's kind of, it'll probably hopefully trickle in more and more as the year goes on. But we just found out today about $43,000.
From everybody who died last year.
Yeah.
Wow,
but we didn't budget any of that. So everything we get is
all right.
It's good.
All right.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Anna, can you call the roll?
Bonk.
Yes.
Braverman.
Yes.
Cluter.
Yes.
Alfred.
Yes.
Duber.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes. Or abstain. I'm sorry. I don't have to, but I'm going to.
Why are you saying?
I'm abstaining. I wasn't there. Oh. I could have voted yes, but I'm going to abstain. Next, I need a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of June 30th, 2013.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Mr. Bloom, would you like to speak to this report also?
Sure.
Since Mr. Adele is not here. Thank you.
Yeah, I won't get into the details of the report, but the main item would be if you look at the over and under budget line in the middle of the page.
Yep.
Oh.
Through 6 months, we're $233,000 above budget. And just as a point of reference for you, a year ago at the end of June, we were about $76,000 under budget. So we've come back very strongly from that point. And also at the end of the year last year, going into the year 2013, we were about $149,000 under budget. So the last 6 months have been very strong collection. And I'm told by Mitch that the collections so far in July have also been very strong. So we're continuing to do really well.
These things sometimes have a way of evening themselves out, but so far,
2012
was
a very bad year, so
yes,
digging out of a hole.
All good plan.
I'm very pleased.
That's usually what it is.
Any other questions or comments? Great. Anna, will you call the roll?
Bonk.
Yes.
Braverman.
Yes.
Cluter.
Yes.
Alfred.
Yes.
Duber.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes. Motion. I don't need a motion. We're going to discuss the bills to be paid in the amount of $152,335.40 with additional expenses of $397,734.10. And these were in our packet. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I'd just like to point out, as I generally do, that though those numbers may seem a little high, when you consider that 54,000 of it was to pay our 50% capital contribution share for the Chagrin Valley Regional Dispatch COG.
61,000.
No, because 10,000 of that was our monthly.
Oh, that was our monthly?
Monthly
amount.
Oh. And then on the additional expenses, 347 of the 397 was a payment for the service department building, and 25 of it was for our police pension fund.
Great. Does anybody have any questions? There are none. We'll move on. Next, we have audience comments relating to agenda items. Does anybody, if you would like to speak, please feel free to come on up to the microphone. All right. We'll move on then to old business. We have ordinance number 2013-12. An ordinance enacting a new section of Chapter 147 of the Orange Village Codified Ordinances entitled Employee Assistance Program. This is on for second reading, and I wonder if there was any discussion last week that...
Well, the only discussion was Mr. Bonk repeated the question about whether there's any referral fees paid to the professionals, and the answer is no. The question was asked, and there is not.
Mr. Bonk, would you like to comment on that in any way?
No, my question was answered. Thank you.
Great. Anybody else have any questions? All right.
Peanuts.
Then we will be voting on that next month. Next, we have ordinance number 2013-13, an ordinance granting a side yard variance to Michael and Megan Jolick for property located at 28300 Orange Meadow Lane. This is on for second reading. It's been referred to planning and zoning and is passed unanimously at last week's planning and zoning meeting.
Get to set a public hearing. Right.
It's going to be set. Do you want to set the public hearing date now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can set the public hearing date for August 14th. It's our council meeting. Is that fits
in
there?
About not having a council meeting in August due to all the extra.
Due to what? All the extra meeting?
We. We can get in the paper. All right, let's.
To the 31st of July?
I'm just suggesting it so that maybe we can keep the August agenda clear and maybe take a meeting off.
Yes, I agree. And if we can fit it in, that's a great alternative, unless anybody has any objections. July 31st will be a regular council meeting.
They'll be pleased because they're waiting for.
They probably will.
No, because we're neighbors, and he thought it was going to be on the agenda tonight. So I think he'll be delighted. So.
Okay, great.
Tonight.
So
yeah, he thought it was, you know, third reading.
Hopefully he got some paperwork on how our process works and how we have to have a public hearing.
No, he's been very, very, very good.
Okay, so we'll set the public hearing for July 31st special council meeting. All right, next we'll have ordinance number 2013-15, an ordinance amending certain sections of the zoning code of the codified ordinances of Orange Village to provide for the use of solar panels in certain residential districts. This also is on for second reading tonight. Was there any?
Does that have to go to P&Z?
It did, and there was no vote taken. There's discussion that hasn't been resolved or finished.
So
we really can't put it on third until you guys.
Correct.
So we are awaiting planning and zoning's recommendation.
Right, and we've been very busy with other things, so we're not.
Understandable. And this, we're in absolutely no hurry for. Okay. Under new business, we have tonight ordinance number 2013-16, an ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into the restatement of the water service agreement with the city of Cleveland. This is on for first reading tonight. And Mayor, would you like to say anything about this or wait until
we
have?
I'll repeat what I did say last week because you weren't here.
I wasn't here, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Basically, this is the same thing we entered into many years ago, but it's being restated principally because there was a portion of the program which allowed for reimbursement if the municipality did their own water line replacement, and that sunset in 2012. That was really the more popular way to do these projects, and so in putting that back on, they had a few of the better law directors in town, including our own, working on the entire document and cleaning up whatever it is, but there's no other substantive changes. So this is just so everybody will have a similar uniform deal. And if you remember, this was the original non-poach economic development agreement with the city of Cleveland in exchange for transferring the ownership of our water pipes and them assuming the responsibility for the maintenance and repair and replacement if eligible for it. And so it's really just a restated agreement and extension of the reimbursement program for the waterline replacement projects.
And some of the more prominent engineers weighed in on it too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, including our very own Brian Mader. So we were very well represented in the redo of these documents.
Does this, by any chance, are we able to address some of the issues that we face on Miles Road with
we're working
the
on it.
Cost that the village had to accrue?
Occur? No.
Occur.
No. To this point, when there's a water main break, the City of Cleveland Water Department only fixes a patch of pavement that's 10 foot by 10 foot. We have, at the Suburban Water COG, had many discussions about extending the pavement replacement at a water main break, but it has not been put into official place yet, so I'm guessing we won't get it before it's officially available. Our engineer and service director did talk to people at City of Cleveland to have them take a look at the number of water breaks and issues with the Miles Road water line, hoping to try to get a full replacement of it or get it on the radar screen to be scheduled in for a replacement. I haven't, anything more since you and I last talked about it?
For me, yeah. I needed a report from the City of Cleveland and looked at it. We had actually 15 water main breaks from Martin Road to Miles from the Warrenville line, so it's above average, but I'm waiting for all the final billing and sold before I go ahead and contact the water and see if they'll give us any assistance on Miles Road repair.
Well, then I'm going to suggest, and I will direct the engineer to also put it in for replacement. So when the Suburban Water Cog approves the plans for next year, we might have a chance, since to this point there's been more money than there's been projects.
Mm.
The issue might be that the water main is sold.
Oh, good point. Well, if it's in Sol, then we'll have to talk to the Solon and ask them to put it on. Are they members of the Economic Development Agreement?
I'm not sure if they're participating in it or not.
Let's hope so, because every time it breaks, it costs us. Okay, we'll work on that administratively.
All right. Well, thank you, Mayor, for that.
I have a point of order.
Yes?
Acknowledging the mayor's excess of humility, I think in our ordinances, the phrase the mayor, at least the word mayor, should be capitalized.
Yes, it usually is. Thank you. Next, under new business, I'd like a motion to have council represented by David Bloom at the Sunshine Lodge training to be held on August 1st, 2013.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluter. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Anybody wanting to go? This is something that I have been to, and us older council people probably, or longer term council members, I guess, better term, have been to. I highly recommend that newer council people attend a session once, at least once in your career.
And you're mandated to do it, you see?
Well, the law requires every elected official once during their term to either go or send a designee. This sending Dave as the council's designee checks that box. It doesn't prevent you all from
I would recommend if anybody...
It's highly informative. Yes, they go over in an eight-hour day. Seem longer. sorry. They go over every in and out of how you can interpret the Sunshine Laws, and it's a very important law for us to monitor ourselves.
It's basically from sunrise to sunset, isn't it? It's a sunshine law, isn't it? No. It should be. I do think it should be attended by everyone who has not attended ever.
The law director scheduled everybody.
Yes, as a newly minted councilman, I've already signed up for this particular session.
Thank you.
So I'll be joining you, Dave, at that.
Great, and thank you, Dave, for representing us. That's very kind of you for that eight-hour day. Any other comments?
Where's it at? Where's it at? The August 1st?
Lakeland. The one on August is at Lakeland College.
Okay, over.
There's one in September down at the county council chambers.
Usually we'll get
a closed meeting, though, isn't it?
Email about those training sessions, so keep your eyes open for them.
Well, Steve sent it scheduled everybody just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Via email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Anna, can you call the roll, please?
Bonk.
Yes.
Braverman.
Yes.
Cluter.
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Next, our highlight discussion of the night. Ordinance number 2013-11, an ordinance enacting the Pinecrest Plan Development District, PPDD, regulations and zoning certain parcels of land from Class U1 to PPDD, amending the village map and map designations, submitting the post-district and zoning change to the voters of Orange Village and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading, and I think we've had it on for second reading before, so it's just just a discussion tonight. Thank you all for being here again. Let's start tonight, unless you all have new information for us. Do you have anything new?
Good evening. First, let me apologize. David Lewansky couldn't be here tonight, but he does apologize that he couldn't be here.
For the microphone, for the tape, would you mind saying
your
name,
Mr. Jordan Burns, counsel to the applicant.
Thank you.
The only new information to provide, and I'm not sure whether your engineer would like to discuss this or Mike Schweikert, who's the traffic engineer for the project. There were questions posed at the last meeting and some questions that Brian Mader had posed regarding some traffic issues, and we've got some additional information to share if you'd like.
The problem is that information came to our engineer just this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and so he hasn't had the chance to sort through it and do what he needs to do.
Understood. So. Well, we're happy to have Mike Schweikert present at least some of that information, and if you've got questions, we can make sure that those are answered tonight, and if not tonight, at our next meeting as well.
Which will be next week. That will be primarily a discussion for the whole community.
It's a town hall.
But we can also, if we have specific questions, chime in too. Last week, the mayor was telling me there were some new issues raised.
Do you don't want to present?
Yeah, do you want to? Yeah.
Sure.
I didn't know you had a presentation, sorry.
No, I really don't have a presentation, but I'm fully versed in what we've done up to date, and I can give you an update as to what we've done as far as traffic analysis for the project. As you know, the site plan had changed a little bit from the original submittal, and that raised the question as to what those impacts were as far as traffic goes. And there were some questions based upon council's review of the information, as well as Mr. Mader and I, who have had some conversations and meetings together about the original traffic study and wanting to know a little bit about some what-ifs and things like that. I'm happy to report that based upon the change in the site plan and some of the recommendations that Mr. Mader has made, it has been shown now that the traffic situation is much improved. One of his suggestions was to make Pinecrest a one-way in to alleviate that problem with having two traffic signals closely spaced and the possibility of having traffic back up through one or the other traffic signals.
One-way in at the Harvard intersection and or at the other end?
Pinecrest at...
At the Chagrin end?
At
the Harvard end.
Orange Place.
But at Orange Place, right there, where the two traffic signals are very close together. Yeah. So if we make that one-way in, we can remove that traffic signal, and it would not create any backup through the other signal and vice versa. But what that does also is redistribute the traffic through the site, because now you're not using that as a primary source of exiting from the development. When we do that, then the traffic volumes change at the two sites or two entrance driveways on Orange Place. And one of the things that we were struggling with was a poor level of service coming out of, I'm trying to think of the name of the development across from this development. There's a
hotel?
Hotel there.
Across from the hotel?
Right. Where we're having a poor level of service for there. And we were suggesting that we would put in a roundabout to help that problem. And the reason that we suggested that was because we couldn't meet a warrant from the Ohio Revised Code for a traffic signal at that location. When we find that we change the ingress at Pinecrest to go in and redistribute that traffic, the traffic then becomes a little more concentrated at the two drives, the north and south access points, and now they become warranted as traffic signals. So then we can alleviate the problems of trying to determine how we're going to get right-of-way to build a roundabout. If we can't build a roundabout, how do we provide traffic control that does not create problems. The other thing that we need to mention is the site plan provided another access point onto Orange Place for the residential, where we did not have that before, which created increased stress at the Walnut Hills Chagrin intersection. Now with the new access point there, we alleviate that stress up at that location and distribute it at closer to the two new driveways, or the two other driveways that are on Orange Place. So overall, we're finding better flow through the entire site with these changes. And so as a professional recommendation from our company, we would recommend to the developer that they would accept the suggestions by Mr. Mader to try to improve his traffic flow and his issues with the development.
Now, is that going to mean the widening of some of the roadways to have turn lanes and or more traffic lanes, flow lanes?
No, it would not have to have any widening. Now, we were going to need some widening when Pinecrest was a signalized intersection. We needed two lanes there, a left turn lane and a right turn lane to come out. But with it only going in, then, of course, we actually need less pavement. But there was no need for warranting additional lanes at either of those locations that exited the site.
So. I can just say that partly because of the weather, I suppose, but I was on Richmond at 5 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, actually, because it was bumper to bumper, and people didn't know how to get out of the hospital and how to get out of Park East, and so on and so forth, and then the turn onto Harvard was somewhat eventful also, and I relate better, not that I didn't relate well, but even better to those who wonder about the traffic density on those roads and other roads associated with the project. I mean, we'd hate to have that result every day, regardless of the weather in Orange Village.
Yeah, weather can be create problems for drivers. Just to let you know, none of this has been.
Let's take your plan for a minute. I mean, your study is it. Has it been determined, not in this case, but in cases in general, perhaps, the impact, the adverse impact of the winter, or the adverse impact of the kind of rains we had today and so forth?
No, we don't take into incidents, traffic accidents, construction, weather conditions, or things like that. We just talk about normal, everyday driving conditions.
Okay, so no doubt some of these factors would tend to slow down.
Absolutely.
The process.
Yeah, and at any place.
Okay. Mr. Bonk?
Last week we asked for the data between 6 and 7, and Ms. Perry, when she was here, identified a couple of errors, and you said they were typos. Do you have that data?
We do have that data. We were able to obtain some data from the city of Woodmere, who monitors traffic conditions on Chagrin Boulevard. And looking at that, we have some 24-hour traffic count information there, and it does show currently that the 5 to 6 o'clock hour is definitely the peak hour. However, I must say that the 6 to 7 is not small. It's very close to being at the same range, but in every day that we looked at the data, it was smaller. But it doesn't really make that much difference whether it is or not, because the traffic data gets adjusted for the 30th highest hour. Whether you adjust it from the 5 to 6 o'clock hour or from the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, the design hour would be the same within a percentage point.
Okay. I asked previously Mr. Klein, and he said there was no answer for it, but I did a for lack of a better word, a car sales study, how many cars come in. And Mr. Klein said there wasn't, so I made a little table saying that if every sales trip was $100, you know, because that's what the residents are concerned with, is the traffic pulling in. Mm-hmm. The village would get 17,000 cars additionally in and out a day on its roads. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's real simple. I mean, this was 263 million divided by 365 days. 100, divide that by 100, car goes in, you guys don't destroy them. It doesn't go, they, you know, they come out. And then mm-hmm. you add the number of employees that you said are there. And if the trips, if the average retail trip is only $60, you're going to get 23,000 cars on the village.
27.
Yeah, I mean, or 27 or what, yeah, thank you. For every day? Every yeah. day, every that's day. The additional cars coming in and out. Now, some of them may be going off to the freeway. However, what is that impact on our roads? I mean.
Yeah, I have not studied those. Those particular numbers.
I mean, it's, you know, divide his sales
mm-hmm.
by, you know,
sales?
365, mm-hmm. and then just say every car comes in and spends $100 coming mm-hmm. in and out. Make it 120.
Sure.
Numbers change. But it's an enormous number of cars. And that is one thing that every okay. resident's been asking me. How are we going to handle the traffic? And I said, I looked at the numbers and I said, these are frightening. I mean, they're frightening. Now, I also went over to my friends at Case over at the Mandel School, and they gave me a little map of income. And since we claim the residents are going to be here, are going to be a high-end income, and if you look at the dark green, and I don't get, sorry, I didn't get enough of them, this is where income is greater than $60,000. And what you see clearly on the map is it's all east of here. It's east of your location. That's the other one, the 75. That's I had them do for different levels, okay. but this is it.
All right.
If you can pass them on. It says the traffic's all gonna come from basically Chagrin, Moreland, Pepper, which basically says our travel corridors of Miles, Orangewood Drive, Harvard, Lander, Brainerd are going to be a funnel of the cars that we showed before. And I talked to a professor of logistics, and he said, believe me, the locals going there are going to find the ways to go on your side street. It's just the nature of the business. So I guess the question is if we go ahead with this project and you're doing the traffic studies, what does this mean for the 20,000 or 17,000 cars? Is this going to be, are we going to have Harvard Road become Chagrin Boulevard?
No, you're not.
Okay.
This development is not anywhere big enough to do that.
I asked you if you could take a look at the impact of Harvard and Brainerd.
We did. And we still are at level service C, which is a very good capacity okay. level for that intersection.
So if you could fault me where I'm wrong with the average sales per car. I mean,
I can't do that right up here. I'd have to study your numbers.
But
I mean, it would
just,
take some time.
This is arithmetic. I mean, yeah.
I will do it if you.
Of course, it could be that the gross revenue is overstated, which is another issue altogether. I mean, we may have to get to that. But taking the present, making your analysis part of the mm-hmm. overall presentation that we've had,
right.
interestingly, the numbers presented, mm-hmm. and then he's doing really very simple mathematics to get
arithmetic.
to get to his numbers. So, I mean, it's not, it's nothing profound. I mean, you certainly should look at it, but it's nothing profound.
I just want to, there will be an impact, there's no question there'll be an impact. To what degree, who knows? But when Harvard Road was hopefully they'll tell us, I don't know. When Harvard Road was widened as part of the so-called Figge Project
PMBG,
development,
right.
that was to handle 23,000 cars heading east, which we never had. But the road work is there to handle it. I don't, you know, I don't know how to, I don't know how we can assess the impact to the residents, but the road work, the infrastructure is there.
But Kathy, I think when we got the interchange in, that's when Harvard Road was also widened. That was part of the deal.
Well, that's all part of the same reason.
May I ask some questions, please?
Yes,
please.
But I think Mr. Burns wants to speak specifically to this issue,
okay,
so
go ahead.
I didn't forget,
no,
Mrs. Cluter,
fine.
And
fine.
We have time tonight to discuss, so go
okay.
ahead, please.
Thank you. To be clear, I don't pretend to be a traffic engineer. However, I'm concerned about the notion of equating sales to cars, because...
I asked Mr. Klein, and he said he talked to Mr. Lewansky, and he said, we didn't know. I'm concerned about cars. That's
certainly
what the residents are concerned with. So tell me the number per sales per car, and then we'll get a number of cars on the road.
And I guess my point is, and again, I'll defer to the traffic engineer, but standards that traffic engineers use to evaluate the traffic that's going to be generated as a result of any particular use, don't evaluate them based on sales per cars. It's an artificial measure, is my point.
I disagree. How do you define an artificial measure? The cars, are residents going to walk up there and buy?
No. My point is simply this, Mr. Bonk. There are standards by which traffic engineers measure the anticipated traffic from any particular use, where that traffic is going to come from, the traffic patterns that they're going to utilize, and they do that in order to evaluate what traffic improvements are necessary to handle them, whether the roads are of sufficient capacity to handle that traffic, et cetera. And again, I'll let Mr. Schweikert address it, but I'm not aware that when traffic engineers engage in that exercise, they do so in a manner that equates purchases in evaluating that.
I'm only using purchases as a proxy for individual trips that are
going
on.
So how many cars will be there daily,
right,
based
great
on whatever factors you use?
Can you state your name first?
David Parrish with RDL Architects.
Thank you, Mr. Parrish.
I've heard your question loud and clear, and I don't know that it's a traffic question. I think I'm a member of the International Council of Shopping Centers, known as ICSE. It's where we went to Las Vegas to go to the